In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. May the Lord bestow upon us His grace and His blessing, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Imagine yourself as if you are standing before a great gate, a golden gate to a golden city. And before this gate are the angels and the clouds, and the brightness of the light of His glory, which is prophesied and explained to us in the Holy Scriptures. And at this gate stands an angel who awaits to open the door to us. And once the door is open, we are called to enter into the paradise and to the joy of His glory. St. John Chrysostom used this image to say that this is the entrance that we have into the gospel. And the angel at the gate is the evangelist who is welcoming us into the gates of heaven through the words of the scripture. This month and this that we have, the third month of the Coptic year of Hathor, is based upon this idea. The first Coptic month, the themes of its gospel are related to the salvation that comes through the word and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of its gospels are related to it. When one person hears the word of salvation, then they would ask, well, how do we attain the salvation? So the second month focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings and His salvation to the sinners. But this month, we hear this theme of the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, as being the means by which we enter into this and have communion with the Lord and are able to enter into this grace. So for the first 2 weeks, we hear the parable of the sower and the seed, as we just heard. And also we will hear a similar gospel next week. And then the last 2 weeks of the month of Hathor, we will hear the same message related to how to activate, how to act upon the word of God and bear the cross and follow the Lord, as St. Anthony and many of those who came before us were faithful in doing. The Lord spoke many times in parables. This was a prophecy of the book of Isaiah, that He would speak in parables, and many would be able to not comprehend what He said, but those who did hear Him were compelled more to enter into the kingdom. And this parable of the sower, the tradition calls it the parable of parables, because it explains to us not only the importance of why the Lord spoke in parables, but also that it encourages us how and teaches us how to approach the gospel. As the Lord explains that the sower of the seed is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the seed is His word. And the Lord, when He came to sow, He gave His message of salvation to all mankind. That's why it was spread upon all the types of the earth and all these types of soil and upon the rocks. And it is not, as some may accuse God, saying, well, salvation or knowledge of God was not proclaimed to this type of people. We find it fulfilled in this parable, that yes, it is proclaimed, but the thing that is determinant upon the growth is not the seed, but it is the soil. And as explained in all of these, it is the soil which is our hearts, which should be grind and removed of all of its offenses and all of the sins that easily entangle us and ensnare us. God willing, this would be the focus for next week. But this week, since there are many points to this, we'll just focus on the good soil. And that what is the good soil that brings forth the fruit? The seed, as we had said, is not just a regular seed, although it is small, and although many even people would say it's very hard, it's compact, maybe not able to understand. Many people read and approach the scriptures and they say there are so many things in the gospel that we don't understand. And because of this difficulty, they would have a hesitance to live and to dwell in the scriptures. St. Cyril the Great, he says that this is like when you search the scriptures, as commanded by the Lord in the Gospel of John to the Jews. He said, for in them that you have life. So, when you enter into the scriptures is as a man who is digging in the soil to find the pearl of great price. And the pearl of great price is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word for us. So he said, when you approach the gospel, you too, with the same effort and the same perseverance, to dig deep and to work hard to find the words that lead to life and to live by them. He had in one of his writings that he took, that he said, not only is every word of God so important, St. Beatus says that not even every phrase should be neglected, and it's not idle. And some will say, what about the passages where we see just a list of names? He said, even there, that you can find the means of salvation and the message of God for his people. But yet, many times with our difficult minds, it's hard to comprehend the life-giving words. He had once a disciple he was writing that came to him and asked, he was running to him, and he stopped and said, what are you in such a rush and haste to do? He said, don't tell me, I understand, I know what you want. You were reading the passages at home, and you had a question, so you came quickly, and you are holding, he said, what are you holding in your hands? He said, I'm holding the Gospels, St. Mark, Matthew, and St. Matthew and St. John. And he had two verses that he had questions about, one in Matthew and one in John, about how to apply them. And so St. Cyril goes and explains not one, two, three, but 17 chapters, maybe hundreds of pages, and just to explain these two verses. Once I remember I was looking in a long time ago in one of the fathers to see what they say about the Sermon on the Mount. So I went to St. Augustine and I opened the first volume for the Sermon on the Mount. And it says, and he went up on a mountain. And I turned and I didn't see the next verse. So the next page, 5 pages, he goes to explain what it means that he went up on a mountain. And he sat down, when it says sat down, also. So I say, how the first time to realize how great and wealth that each word in the scripture has this value. He said, what can you say about going on the mountain? Well, he says, did not Moses go up on the mountain to hear the word of God? And so, the same as Moses went up, more the Lord Jesus Christ he went up on the mountain to say that he is the one who is greater than Moses. And he speaks with the authority that is greater than Moses. And in the church, they took this example. So when we preach the gospel, and when we hear the words of gospel, in the very ancient churches, they would have the pulpit at a very high point in the church. In some churches in the middle, even you could not see the altar. See, how could we understand this picture? So that they felt, when they heard the word of God, it was coming down to them as from the mountain. And the church was full of the incense with the smoke, and the lights were shining bright to teach us and to give us the same picture as the Lord appeared to Moses in this greatness, and the mountain was full of smoke. And the mountain shook, and the people were in fear and trembling. They were standing and could not even approach at this point. That he says, the same thing the church teaches us when we approach the gospel. And we approach it with all reverence. You'll know that each reading has a prayer, and it has a psalm, or a hymn that is chanted, to prepare us to be worthy to hear these words. And the church continually teaching us the preparation that we need just to approach the words of Holy Scripture. This is what the heretics and the people who are outside of Christ could not understand, because they took the words of God as something that was invaluable and not with the same glory. And the same words also go for the sermon. Not that we glorify ourselves. St. Cyril even said that, I ask your forgiveness if I make a mistake or if I make some overlook or oversight into the scriptures. But nevertheless, because of the command was given us to preach, so we must preach, or we will receive our own judgment. But he says, as we enter into the scriptures, and as we contemplate on the homilies, one time St. John Chrysostom was doing the same. And he was preaching, and he was a little bit difficult with the people. And in the back of the church, he saw the Lord of glory sitting on his throne. And he could not continue in the sermon, because the holiness of God had prevented him even from realizing what he was saying at first. And he said every time after that he came to deliver the sermon, he recalled that the presence of the Lord among us, and that this is his word and his ministry and his service. In fact, also in the ancient churches, many times they would put the throne of the bishop behind the altar, where we see the Lord of Glory sitting. And sometimes he would deliver the sermon from there. But after a while, some say because, a tribute to St. John Chrysostom, he was very weak and could not, his voice was not that strong, so they moved it to the side. As you see many in the churches, they have the throne near the gospel. And this, to be like we have today, to be proclaimed the word of God. One of the fathers, he says, let us sow these words of scriptures, as we say in the Tazbaha, sow within me your seeds of righteousness. And this, which the sower gives, that we pray, that leads to the fruits and the seeds that lead to life, and not the weeds, which we had heard about in this gospel reading. So St. Basil, he says, when you come to the church, be ready, not just to hear the word of God, not just to hear the gospel, but to live and to be obedient and faithful to these words. And he says that, I know the church may be full of its people, and I rejoice at the fact that the church is full of people who are willing to hear the word of God and even to partake of the mysteries. But he says, when you go home, ask yourself, make sure that you have these words deep within your heart and meditate upon them as if someone who takes a meal and chews in his mouth, he does not spit it out afterwards, but he digests it, and it could take 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours to digest. So these are the words of life which turn within us so that it leads to our meditation. These words are not simple words. St. Basil says, listen, my son, to these words so that you may understand the Lord of Glory. And we call them the life-giving words. Just as in the altar, when we have the bread, that after the Holy Spirit descends upon it, it becomes the body and blood, but we see it still as with our own physical eyes as bread and wine, but we know they are life-giving mysteries beyond our contemplation, so are the words of God filled with the Holy Spirit and intended to penetrate into the heart. As the angel, after he spoke to the Holy Virgin Mary, she said, and we hear the words telling us of God, that a sword will pierce through your own heart also. And we also hear in the book of Acts that when the people heard the word of God, that they had said they were cut to the heart. Because the word of God penetrates into our very being and compels and convicts us. The word of God is not only powerful that it would allow us to understand the scriptures, but it has a power by which we can memorize or to remember his words. The Holy Spirit will give you remembrance, all things that I said to you. And not only that it allows us to understand and to memorize, but also to abide by them. So just by reading the Holy Gospels, that we will have the power not just to hear and to remember, but to abide and live and dwell in them. That's why the fathers would say even the presence of the Bible in a room has a power and a blessing to those to partake of the scriptures. That's not an excuse not to open the gospel, but says even its very presence has a blessing for us to partake of. The Lord reminds us that not only do we hear it in the last verse that we had read, it says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, the ones who did not have the noble and good heart, were not able to reap the same fruit. But he says they keep it and they bear fruit with patience. And this keep is a very important word that comes from one of the first commands given to man. That in the Garden of Eden, the Lord told him and gave the commandment to Adam, not just to sit and dwell in paradise and to rejoice, but he says that you may tend and to keep it. To tend, to do some work, to keep it fruitful, and to keep or to guard and protect against anyone that may attack this garden and attack the fruit. And he was, yes, faithful in the beginning to tend the garden, to name all the animals, the authority given to him, but he was not able to continue in guarding and keeping the scriptures. Many of us, how many sermons that we have heard in our life, and how many do we remember? One of the fathers, he said that in one sermon that St. Peter delivered, he converted thousands of souls. They changed their lives. They could never forget the words that they had heard. But yet for us, we heard thousands of sermons, and yet how many people are moved by this? Despite our own weakness in preaching the gospel, we say that these words have the power to convert our souls and to live by them. The Bible also says, keep the traditions taught to us, whether by word or by our epistle, St. Paul says to the Thessalonians. So not only that the word of God is to be kept and to preserved and to be cherished, but also the teachings of the church. That's why the fulfillment of the preaching of the gospel comes within the church. And that when we hear the words of God in the church, it does have a different blessing and a different power than even when we read the gospel outside of the church. So we must understand and be faithful, not just to any meditation or any commentary on scripture, but how the church presents the gospel to us. For if the words of God are a light of the world, that it must be placed on the lampstand to give its light to all who are in the house. And the lampstand, we understand in by the teachings of the church, is the church itself, with the light of God, Christ within its midst, shining throughout all the world to give its glory. So we are faithful to keep not just the words of God, but to keep the traditions that we have received, whether by word or by the epistle. By word, which was the spoken word that St. Paul had given and other apostles gave, it wasn't all written down. That's why the second part he says, by epistle, he wrote many things. Also keep those, but also keep the things that we did not write down. The Lord Jesus Christ, he preached many things to the apostles, but not all of it was written down. As St. John says in the end of his gospel, that if we were to write everything that he had did, and everything we saw, and everything that we had heard, not all the books in the world would be able to contain them. So there is much teaching and much understanding that is not within the scripture alone. That's why we say we are not a faith of the words alone, but the tradition also, which allows us not only to have the word of God, but to understand and to live by them. And if we keep the word, and if we keep the teachings, then as the gospel also tells us, that you will keep yourself pure. So by this, we will be able to live a holy life. St. Basil, he said that when you... that all filthiness and all sins are attributed for those who are not able to understand and to live according to the words of God. He said, all sin is because we did not have this obedience and have this understanding of the word of God. So when we commit a sin and we realize why, then usually the church teaches us, we take even verses that become to us a sword and a shield so we may be able to stand and to fight against all the wiles of the enemy. Finally, it says, when you keep it, you will bear fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. And it says, but, the last words, with patience. Many times we will read the scripture and we will not understand. And many times even we will hear the sermon and not understand. And we want everything to go quickly, the liturgy and the sermon and our life. And this, when I told you the story of St. Cyril and his disciple who came, he stopped him and he said, I know you are standing, he was standing at the door to hear the answers, what the two verses mean. He said, no, this can't come, sit down, it must come not only in the house, but he said, in the inner room of the house by which we will have this meditation and deep reflection on the scriptures. If we love the Lord, as we proclaim every day, then let us also love his words and cherish them so that we may live by them. And as we prayed before the gospel, he said that may we be worthy to hear and to act according to your holy gospels through the prayers of the saints. And the saints present for us the fulfillment of the scripture and how to live by them. And even they gave us the words of scripture. As St. John Chrysostom said earlier, that it was the evangelist who allowed him to enter into the kingdom. Because by his proclamation, he didn't save him directly, but the words that he preached were able to save him and to lead him to eternal life. Let us continue with the saints in what that their mission that they preached to us with much patience and much perseverance. St. John Chrysostom alone, they said he spent some people say 6 years in continual meditation. They said he wouldn't even want to sit during that time, so he would be continually, he said, immersed in the scriptures. And St. Basil, he says that when you approach the scriptures, dive into them as if you're diving into an ocean. He said not only just to dive, but to swim in them. And by this full immersion into the scriptures, then we will hear the words of God and live by them. St. John also says, if you have a problem, if you have a difficulty, if you have a lack of comfort or anxiety, then he says, turn in this way to the scriptures, and that you will hear the words of comfort. You will hear the solution to your problems. You will hear the words of eternal life, and that will guide us to eternal life. May the Lord bless us continually with his ever powerful word. Glory be to him now and forever, and to the ages of all ages. Amen.